Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the podcast where unsolved mysteries and true crimes come together in a cocktail of cocktail-y podcasty goodness. We're going to write a good intro one day.
It's getting worse.
Today's not that day. I'm Masood. Milas with me as always is Suze Kemner.
Yes, hello.
Yeah. And Chris Stokes.
Hello, I waved again.
You waved.
I'm pretty sure I waved last week as well, which is silly.
I waved on an audio Zoom call with somebody, and I felt stupid.
I've noticed, Masood, since you've started twitching on the regular, that you say our surnames now. Is it because
I do?
Is this a Twitch thing? Is this a so people can find you?
Absolutely. That's the game, is so that people know who we are, where they can find us. If they go, oh, who's lovely dulcet tones am I hearing now? It's Masood. It's we're hearing Masood. So yeah. Not that there are lots of Masoods anyway, out there. Actually there are. I Twitch googled it.
Him off EastEnders.
Oh yeah, there's that fella.
Masood off EastEnders.
I feel like if he ever did Twitch. Okay. Whoa. Sorry, Google just I said the word Google, and we have a Hey Google. Shit, I said it again.
It was like, please let me help you. I love you.
It's all at once. It's just anytime you're in a room. I usually turn the tap on if I'm in the same room as it, just so it can't hear me like a... Yeah. Oh, this is nice. This is very lovely.
It's weird that you got it if you're worried about being spied on.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Are you talking to Google now or Sarah?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Sarah.
Okay.
What's happened?
She said she had a sip of the cocktail and she said it was delicious.
Ooh.
Oh, great.
Very exciting. Wait a second. Who's that coming through the door of the bar? Bars aren't open yet.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Looks an awful lot like Simon Ferdows. How's it going?
I'm okay. How are you guys in lockdown?
Good, thanks. Wow. Yeah. No, lockdown's over, apparently, if you listen to some people. So, thanks for swinging by.
Yeah, it's really nice to see you at the bar.
Now you can use your unlimited outings to come and see us. It's great.
Yeah, that's right.
Less than six people. Legal.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, you're quite right. I hadn't thought
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yeah.
And we're outdoors because the roof blew off this place on Thursday night when we did a live stream.
Doing another one tonight. If you're listening on Thursday morning when this drops, then doing another one tonight.
Yeah.
Technically, that will be tonight. Nice one. Yeah,
Twitch.tv/mysteryontherocks.
How you been, Simon? What you been doing with yourself?
I've done a few workshops.
Okay. Oh, I spotted some of that on Twitter. Yeah, you had a couple of... it was like writing workshops, weren't
they? Yeah, I figured I wasn't doing anything, so I might as well use my time to spread knowledge.
You did useful things.
That's really good, yeah. While the rest of us are making dumb sketches on Twitter, you're like, hey, I'm actually going to better some people.
It must be nice to have knowledge to share.
I can't be funny right now. I was going one of two ways. I was just literally posting nudes and then also teaching people.
This is perfect.
See, that's a good business model. It's like, get them in with the nudes, and then they're like, hey.
Hit them with the knowledge.
Still, you know, early days, really, of lockdown, to be honest, even though they say lockdown's over. Can do an OnlyFans soon.
With even sexier knowledge.
Yeah. Definitely the photo of the glasses coming down over the edge of the nose. Like, yeah.
White shirt.
You
could
learn something. That's right.
And what are you drinking, Simon?
I don't drink, so I've got a non-alcoholic Negroni spritz.
Oh, how'd you make that?
Very nice. Who does those?
Oh, wow. It's literally ready made.
They're good, that square root. I've tried something of theirs.
I'm a big fan. If they want to sponsor me.
Hey, yeah, you've come to the right place.
Happen, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm proper jealous.
I want to save Masood's drink till last because it looks the most interesting.
It does. It's crazy.
Mine's just a martini, so I'll do mine next because it's boring.
Oh. What's in a martini? I don't even know.
It's just gin and vermouth, but I use rosé vermouth. I didn't know that was a thing. And then
is that
it.
Sweet vermouth that's red? I've got that.
Sweet vermouth is red normally, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But rosé is
so this
different.
Is like, because it's fortified wine, it's like a rosé version of it. So it's gone pink, and then I thought instead of olives, I'd just whack a cherry in there. Like two cherries.
Nice, that's really, really good.
Do you know what?
It's very pretty.
It tastes as you'd expect, sweet martini. Yeah. The legs on it are incredible. I might have used too. Look at those. Fuck. Might have used too much gin, but
look at them legs. That's Christ. Nice. That looks very good.
Cool, cool. Look at the legs on that.
Oh. Are you just drinking tap water, Suze?
No, I made a very good drink. It's a mojito, but my twist on it is a pint.
A pint of mojito?
Yeah, a pint of mojito. And I spilt the first one everywhere. It went everywhere.
Right.
It really went fucking everywhere.
A mojito is rum and...
white rum, sugar,
fizzy
water, and mint from outside the front door where dogs piss.
Okay. Dogs piss mint.
Yum, 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 yum. Oh, had to go out, get more dog's piss mint.
Yeah. Or like when someone's walking the dog, be like, oh, no, come here. Don't piss over there.
Excuse me, is your dog being pissing here by my front door? No, I swear. Well, bring it fucking over.
Yeah, excuse me, mate. What makes the mint taste good?
Put your dog's leg up like that and make it piss on my mint. I think a mojito is a lovely summer drink.
Oh, yeah. Mojitos, margaritas... any kind of gimlet, really. Anything like kind of like sharp and citrusy is always quite good.
What's in your glass, Masood?
What you got, Masood?
This is a cucumber gimlet.
Oh.
What?
So
why is it so green?
Basil. Basil leaves. 8-10 basil leaves. Chopped up cucumber and then muddle those up with crushed ice. And then you add your vodka, a little bit of sugar syrup, shake it up.
You say it was a gimlet.
You can kind of make gimlets with vodka. It doesn't... It's
so long as you've got dog's piss.
Absolutely. It's got to have that gimlet. Dog's piss. Got to have the dog's piss gimlet. What have you got for us, Chris? What's on the cards today?
Today's a good one, I think.
Mm.
It's the Great Mull Air Mystery.
Ah.
I don't know. Have you heard of that, Simon? The Great Mull Air Mystery? Basically, top lines are a guy called Peter Gibbs. He was 54 years old when this happened, 1975. He'd flown Spitfires in the war, so he was an accomplished pilot. He was quite wealthy, and he had his own plane. And on Mull... there was this
quite
hotel.
A dish as well.
Oh, have you Googled
let
him?
Me see. Is he one of these? Is he a snack?
Oh, yeah. Tasty.
Around Christmas 1975, he was 54 and he had a 32-year-old girlfriend.
Alan Partridge.
They were staying.
My girlfriend, she's 32.
And they were staying in this hotel on Mull. It was called the Glen Forster. Now, it was notable because it had its own airstrip, right? So he could just fly straight there. They were staying in this hotel, and then one night after dinner, it was really late, it was dark, he just said he was going to go for a solo flight. And everyone was like, that's mental.
He's going for a wank.
And they tried to, like the hotel staff and his girlfriend tried to talk him out of it. They were like, that's crazy, it's like pitch black out there.
Right.
Yeah.
But because the hotel was right by the coast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nevertheless, he wouldn't be, and he took off. And was never seen again.
Still thinking about him wanking.
Yeah. When you said took off, I was like, yeah, he bet he took off.
Took off his trousers.
Did all his shorts, mate.
And everyone was very embarrassed because the walls were thin.
You could just hear him going, I'm taking off.
God, I really wish he wouldn't say that.
Do you reckon like, while he was doing it, he was doing machine gun noises?
But like he was bad at him. He was going... You know, there's always one kid who can't do it.
And he keeps shouting, and he keeps shouting, "Die Fritz," for no reason. Anyway,
he
took off and wasn't seen again. The plane vanished. They couldn't find the plane. They did a search for his body as well. They couldn't find that. And then 4 months later, the body was found on a hillside on Mull, and the body was completely uninjured.
What? Wow. Decomposed.
So it was just
though?
Like it was. Yeah.
For 4 months.
Yeah.
4 months later, there'd be some decomposition. Yeah.
But they knew he died 4 months ago.
Yeah, and there was also no saltwater traces on the body.
So it wasn't like he was washed up on the beach. Okay.
And now those are the top notes. That's why everyone's sort of like going, "Well, what happened?" Because if he ditched out of the plane, where'd the plane go?
Yeah.
If he fell from the plane, because there was no parachute. If he fell from the plane, why isn't the body injured? And also, why did it take 4 months for the body to be found? Because the shepherd that found him, it was land known to him. This shepherd was like, I've been past here loads of times, and the body's never been here.
Yeah.
Like in 4 months, it wasn't the first time anyone had been there. It's odd.
Did they find the plane?
Officially, they haven't found the plane. There were two people that claimed to have found the plane. A diver said that he'd found the plane, but it was too big. And then another diver said they found the plane and then couldn't find it again when they took people back to where it was.
Right, okay, so he didn't find it.
Yeah. Sort of like one of those things. Right? Yeah, I know where the plane is. I'll show you, mate. Yeah, I'm sure.
More like a liver.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Question number one.
Wow.
Where's Mull?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, great question.
Yeah. That's a very good question.
It's the second largest island of the Inner Hebrides after Skye. So I guess Skye and then Mull.
Okay.
Mull's lower down than you'd think as well. It's not as high up as where Skye is.
Oh, that's really thrown me off, actually. That's always...
After this all happened, like some people questioned his behaviour as well. They were like, well, why did he make this spontaneous flight for no reason when people were saying like there's no way you'd be able to see the landing strip again because there's it's not like an airport. It was just this airstrip outside a hotel.
So there's no landing.
He thought he'd be able to find it again by the hotel, the lights on the hotel,
but there's no height thing differential. If you can,
he's got death wish.
When he didn't come back, the people in the hotel were like, God, he hasn't come back. Oh, we can't see with all these lights on. So they turned all the lights off so they could see better outside. So that
can you imagine they did that and they just hear the plane crash? Like,
might not
oh,
have
shit.
Helped him, yeah. But yeah, like the plane wasn't found, which implies that it went down into the sea.
Yeah.
Because it would have been found if it was on the land. But he showed the traces in his clothes showed no sign of salt water.
What kind of plane was it? Was it the kind of plane that if it hit the water probably would have like... You know.
It's a little Cessna.
Oh yeah, that probably would have broken up then if it did hit the water. I imagine that kind of thing doesn't.
Do you want to know what the number plate was? No, I know you don't really care, but it was Gavtan, right? No, it was
Gavtan.
All right. So it was. I'm not an expert on what they meant, but it was like it's like car number plates. They have like identifying features, but looking at it, the T kind of looks like an I. It just looks like his plane's called Gavin.
That is such a plain name as well.
I'm going to take Gavin up into the big black. It was
that's
nice
the sky, by the way.
That's
just,
what, yeah.
Just,
excuse me. He was very woke.
The reason he was up on Mull with his girlfriend was that he was flying over the Isle of Skye to check for land or properties to buy up to develop because he had a property development company.
Okay.
He was also a professional musician at one point. He was apparently a bit of a practical joker. There was a story about how he played a practical joke on an orchestra that made me think he sounded like an absolute twat. So here we go.
Peter Gibbs.
He was known as a risk taker, which might explain his crazy behaviour about doing this flight. But he was also a practical joker. And on one occasion, he released a bag of live grasshoppers during a performance of the Philharmonia. And in another, he bombed the London Symphony Orchestra with flower bags from his Tiger Moth plane.
What a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
Don't know, he just thought it was funny, I think.
Oh, yeah. He fancied
himself,
didn't he?
Two people died in that one.
Guys that like to be called eccentric.
I'm really eccentric? Right, okay. That's why no one lives with you? Okay,
and he is hot. Right. I've seen the pictures. He is hot. And his 32-year-old girlfriend, he was probably, I don't want to cast aspersions, but he was probably going, another 18 months and I'll give her the elbow.
I bet she was like, well, you're not going to give her the elbow if you can't fly your damn plane.
That's why he was like, I don't want to, I can't face dumping her. And yeah. you couldn't do it over text back in 1975.
Yeah.
So maybe...
You literally just dumped her, just left her.
yeah.
This is the 1970s version of ghosting.
Yeah. yeah.
If you got...
By turning into an actual ghost. by that. Yeah.
If you've got
yeah.
access to a plane...
I like that he was like, I'm going to fly over sky by night to check out the properties.
yeah, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Why can't you just dump me like a normal person? Yeah.
Well, his son said at one point that he had taken off at night before in a plane and landed to prove that he could just by using candlelight.
And everyone was like, that's brilliant, Peter, very good. And he was like, nah, 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 nah. I'm going to throw locusts at you while you sleep.
nah, nah, nah. He's paying a lot of money to be here. Just go with the locust thing.
That's
okay?
great, Mr. Gibbs. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the locust. Yes, they did end up in all of my clothes and eat my underwear. You're a funny guy.
I'm quite scared of insects.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
Of
to just sort of
dangerous.
Like drop flour from a plane on an orchestra.
Yeah, as in like the flour was open, so it would have just gone like poof. As in,
oh,
not
like crop
he just
dusting.
Got, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or just a drop, bag
just
of flour
bags.
In the face.
yeah, yeah. That's what I thought he did. I thought he was just like...
Been like, oh, this is flour. It could have been like, this could be anything. This could be literally...
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Anthrax.
Yeah. You're the worst drug runner I've ever known. Am I going to get the gear or are you going to dump it on an orchestra again? Because naturally people thought he was doing something illicit, like drugs or smuggling.
Yeah.
Some people thought he was making a trip to Ireland and was smuggling something over there. Because Ireland's not that far away.
No.
Bet he was.
Just across the water.
Why else would you have a plane like that?
And then yeah. if the body had been missing as well, he could have been anywhere. But the fact that the body turned up again...
That is weird.
Not far from where he'd taken off.
Yeah.
With no sign of injuries.
Particularly as people were like, oh, I've been here and he wasn't there.
Yeah, because that shepherd was like, I'm telling you, like, I've been here more... This isn't the first time I've been here in four months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, like he knows. He knows that part of land, yeah.
What was the year again?
1975, and then the body was found in 1976, because it was Christmas that he took off.
So it's like, obviously, there's no, like, DNA and stuff back then, not how we know it now.
Well, I suppose enough to be able to determine what happened, but this was so weird that they ruled that it was just a fatal accident, but some people feel like the questions weren't answered satisfactorily. So like when they found that there was no traces of salt water, they said it was winter in Scotland, you know, and fresh water and snow and frost could have washed it away, which
yeah
I'm not an expert, so I'll take that on face value. Maybe it did. But there is still some people that are like, well, there should be some.
Oh, yeah.
They found a bunch of flour in his mouth and a locust crawled out of it.
Like Silence of the Lambs. It was just like grasshopper in his throat. And they were like, oh, is this related to a serial killer? And they were like, no.
Well, that horrible bit in Arachnophobia.
Which bit in Arachnophobia?
Well, like the way they find the couple is before they cotton on to what's going on. And there's a couple that are dead.
Oh.
And been eating breakfast cereal out of the bowl dry, and then a spider comes out of
Oh yeah,
for God's sake. That's
I got covered in spiders today.
What? Chris?
Yeah, it's never happened to me before.
Where? How?
All right, so did a load of washing, and it's nice drying weather. I don't know whether you looked outside. So I went to hang the washing outside, but you wipe the clotheslines down.
Yeah. And we pull the thing down, and Gibbs comes out with a basket full of spiders frozen in your face. Shit!
We've got two washing lines. One simple one that goes across the patio, and then we've got one of those triangle ones. I say triangle ones, but the other ones got like three, like that.
Goes round and round, if you like.
So when I go and wipe that off, I didn't realise that there was just like a cluster of tiny little spiders that were
playing
there. So I wiped it down, and then all of a sudden I had loads of spiders on my arm.
Oh,
and then they were
Chris.
Crawling up, and I was like, oh no.
Did you drop and roll like you were on fire?
No, I just sort of like had to do that a lot. And then I had to go and have a shower because I was like, what if they're all in my hair?
I would hate that. Yeah. I would phone the police and say, I need help. And I'd just be shouting, to protect and serve, to protect and serve. And they'd be like, what is your issue, please, madam? And I'd be like, could be a man. A bit sexist. And then I'd hang up and just deal with the issue myself.
So yeah, some people say that they found the plane, but it was never actually...
But it wasn't proven to be the
plane. Yeah, and also, alarmingly close to the coast as well. Like
his body or the
no, the plane, supposed the plane. Was. Like okay. The, okay, so the body was found up a hill, which would have meant, let's for argument's sake, he ditched the plane in the sea. He would have had to swim to the coast, and then he would have hit a road, main road. That if he'd have turned left or right, I can't remember which one. If he'd have turned on this road and walked for 10 minutes, he would have ended up back at the hotel. But he didn't.
Yeah.
This is assuming that he ditched in the sea and swam. He would have walked up this hill, exhausted himself walking up this hill in the winter, soaking wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it makes no the geography doesn't make any sense. But if you're disoriented and it's pitch black and stuff, and you're starting to suffer from hypothermia, that would explain that. But there are other things that go against that. Like, basically, the whole thing is like, what the fuck happened? No one knows.
Yeah.
And what, like, so they found it 4 months later, and then was he particularly? We sort of hinted that he might be a bit wealthy because we said he was a. Is he like?
Okay, so yeah, so he'd flown in the war, but he'd also was, I think it was a professional violinist. And then he was.
That's why he has the orchestra beat.
Yeah,
I was just thinking exactly. Even,
you know how Hitler was like, I wasn't allowed into art college, so I became a terrible dictator. Peter Gibbs was like not allowed into an orchestra, so he.
Do you know what? It's weird that those are the only two options, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like there are other things to do if you can't get into art college.
Yeah. Also, have you seen Hitler's paintings? They're so twee. Yeah. They're like, sorry, snowflakes, but I stand by this. Hitler's paintings are so like, oh yeah, my aunt took up painting after she retired. she did this one. It's a field near her house. It's nice, isn't it?
Is his style like the Three Kings behind you?
You'd struggle to sell Hitler's works in a fucking Wilco. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
It's like Bob Ross paintings.
Oh, can you imagine him doing a proper, like, and so this is a hill.
It's a happy little cloud. There are no accidents. There are no accidents. And then he's like grabbing his brush. And he's like, and now's the best bit to clean my brush. And he's just like smacking up pictures of minorities with his paintbrush going, ah, it's the best bit.
You're right. These paintings suck.
Have you Googled Hitler's paintings?
Yeah, they are. They like
rubbish, mate.
Sorry, Chris.
It's fine.
It's Peter Gibbs, all right.
I think this might be the most like jarring tangent we've gone on. Some people have to try and explain away, and this is properly blew my mind reading this up, because they were saying, oh well, if he fell from the plane, why did the body show no injuries? And I don't know whether you know, do you know it's possible to fall out of a plane without a parachute and survive?
I've seen a lot of stories of that.
Some of them are incredible.
It's
are they like just no flying planes?
No. 18,000 feet.
Yeah. The people who've just survived and been fine.
You just got to land right on your feet.
So, a guy called Nicholas Alcamade, he was born in 1922. And so, in the war, he was like 20 odd. And it's absolutely, he fell 18,000 feet out of his plane. He was one of seven crew members on a Lancaster bomber, and he was returning from a bomber raid over Berlin, and it was attacked by another fighter plane, a German fighter plane. It caught fire and began to spiral out of control. His parachute had gone up in flames, and so he couldn't use it.
Jesus.
So what he did was he jumped from the aircraft anyway, preferring to die by impact rather than burn to death. He fell 18,000 feet and survived.
What? Oh, lucky boy!
And he was a prisoner of war, and then they and also the Germans, when they captured him, they gave him a certificate to verify that he'd survived this fall.
Oh, that's cute.
Very classic.
Printing out certificates, it's nice.
His fall was broken by pine trees and a soft snow cover. And he suffered only a sprained ankle.
Can you imagine how it must have felt to I'm going to jump to my death, and your life flashes before your eyes as you fall? I don't know how long that fall would take. Probably, I don't know, like probably 30
probably
seconds
minutes,
or but hardly any time. But you're just like falling, and then you land and you go, am I dead? And then you're not, and you go, oh my God, I survived. And then some Germans are like, hello there.
What a bad day.
But then, certificate.
It's not all bad.
Do you reckon they offered him one of Hitler's paintings as well? And he was like,
worst day ever, I'd rather die. It's a terrible, terrible painting.
But if you want to hear more, because I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, a guy called Ivan Chizov, he was a Soviet Air Force lieutenant. He survived falling from his aircraft in 1942. A guy called Alan McGee was an American World War II airman. He survived 22,000 feet.
Wow! How did he survive? Do a lot of them fall into trees?
Nicholas, his fall was broken by a combination of landing in a forest range. So the pine trees broke his fall and then the snow.
Yeah, and then snow.
This guy, we're on about Alan now, he survived 22,000 feet. He discovered his parachute had been torn and rendered useless. And then his aircraft went into a deadly spin. So he was in the process of moving from the Bombay.
Oh, where the bombs come
he
out.
He was in India, you say.
it's called Mumbai.
sorry. Stupid joke, sorry.
So he was on the way. He was moving from the Bombay to the radio room.
That's what I call my arse.
He blacked out.
The bomb.
That doesn't make any sense. Call it the Bombay, fellas. Show Bombay.
As he was moving into the radio room, he blacked out from lack of oxygen because of the high altitude, and he was thrown clear of the aircraft. He fell over 4 miles before crashing through the glass roof of a railway station. Oof. The glass roof shattered, which mitigated the force of his impact. And
luckily,
so rescuers just found him on the floor of the
broke.
Situation.
Wow.
As soon as he landed, he was taken as a prisoner of war as well.
Do you reckon they just waited and said, like, there's another one?
It was the same Germans.
Yeah. Oh, what
they
a
were
good
like,
day
going
today.
To print out another fucking certificate. Why didn't you keep the template, Billy?
Unlike Nicholas, he had some broken bones, severe damage to a nose and eye. He had kidney damage and his right arm nearly came off.
Oh, wow. But still, from falling, like, do you know, I reckon what it is, I've heard this before, little kids have fallen out of top windows of blocks of flats and survived as they hit the ground. I think if you're entirely relaxed, you're less likely to get injured. So your man
like
who jumped
up,
out because he was like, I don't want to burn to death, I'll die from impact. He'd have been falling going, I am going to die. So he was probably
just given up
completely. Just like, and Alan was unconscious and he survived basically.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's a woman who is still alive now. She's 65. She is a German Peruvian mammalogist, specific zoologist, but with mammals. And as a teenager, she was the sole survivor of a plane crash. And she then, bloody hell, she then survived alone for 11 days in the Amazon.
Wow.
Do you reckon then that informed her to become a mammalogist? Or do you reckon she was already a mammalogist and then struck gold?
Well, no, when they found her, they just gave her a certificate. And said you're, a mammalogist.
You're now a mammalogist.
That's just how it works.
Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Yeah. Oh, you can get your gold award straight away, madam.
She became a jungle child. And learned survival techniques.
Wow.
That's crazy. What year was this?
Oh, so that was in 1971.
Okay.
She was born in 1954, so she was 16, 17 at the time. Okay. Her plane was struck by lightning during a severe thunderstorm. It broke up midair and it disintegrated 2 miles above ground.
Whoa.
She was still strapped into her seat and she survived the fall to Earth. 2 miles down, she survived the fall to Earth.
That's ridiculous.
She suffered a broken collarbone, a gash to her right arm, and it must have turned and buffered the crash, she said, otherwise I wouldn't have survived. Her first priority was to find her mother, who'd been sitting next to her on the plane. Oh, dear. Oh. But her search proved unsuccessful.
I mean,
because it was just her
poor
seat
cow.
Fell, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, this is tragic.
Mate.
She later learned that her mother had survived the crash as well, but died of her injuries several days later.
Oh, in the Amazon?
Must have, because that's where they...
Oh.
Yeah, because the plane would have just sat in there, the seats would have... Oh.
So, oh, that is awful.
She survived on sweets that she found at the crash site. She waded downstream through knee-high water.
God, with a broken collarbone and everything.
And the gash on her arm, innit?
After 10 days, she found a boat moored near an... Oh, her eye was swollen shut as well from the...
Oh, my God.
I would have just stayed.
Yeah, I'd just stay in my seat. Yeah, be in the rainforest, though. I bet you get covered in spiders like Chris's washing line.
Do you know what? People are so frightened of spiders, though, that I reckon if I told her that story about the washing line, she'd go,
oh, God.
After everything she'd been through, she'd still be like, oh, God,
give me plane crash, 2 mile fall, Amazon adventure any day. So she lived in a boat that she found.
She found a boat moored near a small shelter. She poured gasoline from the fuel tank in the boat onto her wounds to clear them of maggots. Spent the night at the shelter. And she remained there because she didn't want to leave. I didn't want to take the boat because I didn't want to steal it. She didn't want to steal the boat. It was someone else's boat.
And then, after 10 days, it turned out that boat belonged to some Nazis. And they arrested her.
That's where they
Not before they gave her a certificate.
We've got loads left over.
Congratulations. Yeah. We've decided to give your mother one posthumously. It's what she would have wanted.
Yeah, so the next morning, a small group of local fishermen discovered her and brought her to their village. The following day, a local pilot volunteered to fly her to a hospital where she was reunited with her father.
Wow.
And then, after recovering from her injuries, she went straight back to the crash site as part of a search party to help looking for the bodies of victims.
Oh, my God. Wow. She's amazing. And then she got on a plane.
I feel really good when I help an old person cross the road. This person's a bloody legend.
I know.
Oh, Herzog. Herzog made a film about it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that sounds great.
Wings of Hope.
Oh, I've heard of that film. Oh, well, I've.
This is incredible.
Look at Chris.
He is absolutely taken.
Actually, to be honest, when I said I went down a rabbit hole, I was just looking at people falling from planes. I wasn't looking at actually the story that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck Peter Gibbs. Yeah, so what? You found your head a few months later. This is incredible. So get this. 25 years later, he made the film Wings of Hope, Werner Herzog. Yeah. In 1971, while location scouting for The Wrath of God, Herzog would have been on the same flight as her, but for a last-minute change of his itinerary.
Oh, you're kidding.
Wait, hold on. Is it that thing, or is it like how Matt Damon was like, I almost was in 9/11?
Was it Matt Damon or was it Mark Wahlberg?
I think it was Mark Wahlberg. I always get them confused.
Mark Wahlberg said, like, if it had been me on the plane, I'd have stopped him. Like, Mark, yeah. you wouldn't. You'd have been like, oh God.
Yeah. Marky Mark from the New Kids on the Block forged terrorist attack.
Yeah, well, that's right. Although he did beat someone until they turned blind, so maybe he might have done it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's odd.
Yeah, I think that's
his tactic for anything. And a stop clock is right twice a day.
So I just stopped it.
Yeah, he was wrong to beat that person until they were blind. But if he was in 9/11 and had done it,
yeah, imagine. Hey.
There's another person that fell from a plane. She was a Serbian flight attendant, and she holds the Guinness World Record for surviving the highest fall without a parachute.
Well, did she go to the office and confirm
she
it?
Fell
did
from
she
fell from
How did they come to her? How does that work?
6 miles
what?
Up. Miles
that's the moon. Up. That's how far the moon is.
So that's... What do you mean 6 miles?
I reckon.
250,000 miles.
Yeah, I had another.
Says you.
Yeah, so she was a Serbian flight attendant. The flight was at 33,000 feet.
Yeah.
10,000 meters, 6.5 miles nearly. She was the sole survivor after a briefcase bomb tore through the baggage compartment.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And it crashed in Czechoslovakia. The Yugoslav authorities suspected that Croatian nationalists were to blame, but no one was arrested. Following the bombing, she spent days in a coma, was hospitalised for several months. She had a fractured skull, 3 broken vertebrae, broken legs, broken ribs, and a fractured pelvis. And she was temporarily paralysed from the waist down, but she was able an almost complete recovery, but she had a limp.
Wow. What did she fall onto? the pillow factory.
She had no memory of the incident.
Yeah.
And had because of that, she had absolutely no qualms about flying afterwards. Like, there was fear wasn't instilled in her.
She should just quit
her
job.
If she was in a coma and she doesn't know where she landed, how do they know where she fell from?
Where'd they find her? Chris.
The explosion caused the aircraft to break apart over the village of... Oh, I can't pronounce it.
That's all right. But check
on, give it a go, mate. Give it a go. But if you're going to do it, Chris, you've got to do the accent.
Zabraska Kamenica, I think.
No, do the racist. Accent, mate. You've got to do the
that
accent.
That was racist.
Zabraska Kamenica.
Oh, perfect. Dear.
There we go.
Oh, dear.
She was the sole survivor, 28 passengers and crew. She was discovered by a villager named Bruno, who heard her screaming in the wreckage.
And he was like, hang on, I'm trying to make a certificate.
And then she stood out because she stood out because she had a turquoise uniform on.
Of her uniform, not because she's in a coma and injured.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was. She might not have any memory of it, but she was clearly conscious because she was screaming.
Well, I bet she was. I think to fall a mile, I think...
6 miles?
Yeah, but I think to fall a mile is about 40 seconds. So she must have been falling through the air for a good 5 minutes.
How long did it take for that guy that did the parachute jump from orbit?
Oh, I don't know. Really long time.
That was about 10 minutes.
I hate that he did that.
Really?
The video makes my hands hurt. You know, when because I'm scared of heights anyway, but just seeing him standing on the edge of that thing made my hands hurt and made me my hands out.
Was it a balloon? Did he go up in a balloon?
He went up in a balloon and then, he stepped off that platform.
So
and he spun for ages because it was so high.
Oh,
and then he eventually evened out.
Before we get back to Gibbs, Vulović, who's this flight attendant from Serbia survived. Bruno, the villager that found her, he'd been a medic during the war and was able to keep her alive until rescuers arrived.
Wow.
Now, if you want to know how she survived, air safety investigators, when they investigated it, apparently they attributed it to she was trapped by a food cart in the fuselage as it broke away from the rest of the aircraft and plummeted towards the ground. So when it depressurized, the passengers and other flight crew were blown out of the aircraft and fell to their deaths.
But she was trapped.
But because the fuselage, she was pinned inside it, landed at an angle in a heavily wooded and snow-covered mountainside, it cushioned the impact because she was still inside the fuselage, is it?
Right.
That is
kind of like Brad Pitt in World War Z.
Yeah.
That film is very average.
It's so realistic.
What a great film.
It reminds me of coronavirus.
Looking into that, that's why some people have said it's possible to fall out of a plane without a parachute. And his plane wouldn't have been anywhere near as high as any of that.
Yeah.
No.
So some people have said that maybe he got disoriented when he was going to do the loop, because he was going to do this loop around.
Yeah.
They reckon because he didn't know where he was, he just sort of like did the same thing as that Nicholas guy and was like, I'm just going to jump out and hope for the best.
Right.
So he jumped out, landed where he was found, or not far from where he was found, and crawled there and died. And the plane would have carried on flying for a bit and then ditched into the sea.
Ooh.
Was there heavy snowfall on that day? Because he could have landed on that.
Yeah,
he could have fallen
chilly.
And then just like, it would have been really cold, probably froze.
He probably didn't fall from that high at all. He would have fallen from, like, how high is it if you're just above an orchestra?
I'd put you the top floor of a flat. That's how that's what I'd say.
He's roughly. Like, just see them all.
He thought he could use the crickets to fly. Like, he'd be like, come on! He tied all the crickets to pieces of string and he put a jacket on with all the crickets on it. And he thought he'd be able to land.
like that dickhead in Up. But so there are just a load of crickets and he's like,
You're the only person I've ever heard call him a dickhead.
Everyone loves the old man.
Oh, come on. Have you seen the way he carries on?
So our Gibbs, we don't know if he's eccentric millionaire. He might have been some weird... I'm thinking that because maybe his girlfriend was like, hey, let's bump him off, get some of that sweet
it's a weird way of getting him to of killing him, though, isn't it? I mean, some people have speculated that maybe there was somebody hiding in the plane that threw him out.
Oh,
but it's
and then they landed it.
Yeah, they
and
landed
plot
the plane.
Plot twist, it was that Serbian stewardess.
They reckon
prop plane where it's just those two seats, or is it like
it's a Cessna, so there was seating for other people.
If somebody was hiding there, you would see them.
Yeah, straight away. You, as soon as you get in the plane, you'd be like, oi.
But then other people have said that he knew this other person would be waiting there because there was a deal that was going to happen.
Okay.
Where are my crickets? I'll tell you where your crickets are.
And then that person killed him.
That's just not cricket.
That's what he says as he flies up. That's not cricket.
Well, like James Bond.
Yeah. Jim, I got really told off by an usher in a cinema for being a fucking legend in about two... What's the one with Madonna in it?
Die Another Day.
Yeah. We saw that in the cinema, me and my mates, when I was a teenager.
Oh, dear.
And then there's a bit where he like swings on a bell at the beginning.
Yeah. And then, just as it went quiet,
but he hadn't said that yet, just as it went quiet, I turned to my friends and said very audibly, "I'm such a bell end." we all cracked up laughing and like... We couldn't deal with it, and the usher came and told just me off. So someone had obviously said, "It's her." It's her.
That's a better line than in the film.
Yeah, that's fucking brilliant. So our Gibbs. So there was a deal, potentially a deal. Someone was hiding in the plane. They could have.
This is all just conjecture, isn't it? But some people have to account for the fact that the body showed up, but the plane didn't.
Mm. Maybe
he was
a mistress
thrown out of the plane by somebody else.
Mistress.
He wasn't married at that point.
But he had a girlfriend.
Yes,
and
he
was a fuck machine, I've decided.
Yeah. You've seen the photos. Yeah, he's
he was like 54 years old. It's time to go and see my mistress.
I'm going
to
Google
but
him.
She
now.
Was a woman scorned. Yeah, he's hot. He's hot. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, right? Are you looking at the one the black and white photo where he's looking
with the
he's
chin.
Like looking to the
he
side?
He really fancies himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, it really punctures it if you imagine that face going like after he throws crickets at you. You're like, fuck off, mate.
The pathologist did say that the condition of the body was entirely consistent with lying out there for a period of 4 months. But then that's when the shepherd was like, I walked past there so many times and he wasn't there.
That's really weird.
Could he have moved?
But the body was so decomposed that the only thing holding it together was the clothing.
Oh, wow.
That it was wearing.
That would be hard to move.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What was he wearing?
Yeah. Just tell the listeners. It's not for me. It's for the listeners.
Okay.
I don't know what he was wearing.
Flying boots.
He's such a prat, isn't he?
And I imagine he was just wearing
nothing else.
Just flying boots.
Maybe like a tux.
And that's what he would do. He would fly completely naked.
He'd been drinking. Night.
Very eccentric.
He used to
say
to his girlfriend.
How he liked to fly.
Yeah.
He said, I like to feel the wind in my balls.
I wonder if like because he had this sort of like demeanor of being a practical joker and sort of like ha ha ha, I'm joking me. That to get rid of any internal rage, he has to be alone and just scream at the top of his voice. So maybe that's why he went on the flight. Because maybe
he just went for his nightly scream.
Yeah, maybe he stubbed his toe, or maybe
you just see the plane taking off, just like. Wow, he's
pissed
tonight.
That must be Peter flying overhead. He's furious again. I got outbid on a Hitler.
You would definitely know if somebody was in that plane with you. There's no way you could.
Are you looking at a photo of Gavin?
Yeah,
Gavin.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Gavin the plane.
It does look like Gavin.
Yeah, you would. But that's why some people are saying that somebody was waiting for him in the plane to make this flight over to Ireland with him.
Well, on the wings, they went on top. They punched a hole in the window and said,
"Do you think it was
surprise?"
You know, like the Twilight Zone.
Like the gremlin on the wing. Yeah.
Maybe that happened. Yeah, maybe he saw a gremlin and freaked himself out and just jumped.
So no one has any kind of anything on...
Not really. I mean, like, there's loads of conflicting theories. A prevalent one is that somebody was waiting in the plane to make this flight with him to Ireland to smuggle something and then decided to get rid of him to... keep the
cash
rather than splitting
the plane
himself.
Yeah.
But that doesn't account for the fact that he was telling everybody in the hotel that he'd be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if he was going to make this flight to Ireland to do the smuggling, they'd be like, where is he?
But then also he was, you know, he did leave locusts in people's beds and flour instead of the sugar in the sugar shakers. That's a classic gag. Oh, flour again. Thanks, Peter. I wish he wouldn't stay here.
Imagine him just getting to the plane on it and then flying off would take 10 minutes. So it's clearly like him. He's just like, I'll be back, guy.
Because you got to do all the checking and the flicking of switches and all that nonsense.
It's not like you're just like jumping in the car and like.
Yeah, just be like,
Pan of milk, guys. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
just jumping in Gavin. I'll see you in a minute.
Gavton.
So I got a theory. I reckon I reckon what happened was he did fall out in some way, shape or form, and he fell into some snow, and then he was just like, oh! He was just stuck in the snow. He's like, no! Ah! And then he died, and then the snow, and because that snow was quite heavy, the shepherd could have gone there and not seen anything, but I've been here loads.
It was 4 months later.
It could have snowed over him.
Yeah, could have snowed over him. He wouldn't have seen anything. Snow melts.
You can also imagine snow until, like, it's a bloody Scottish island in the 70s, back when we had proper winters. But you can imagine snow being till April.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, it's like a hill, right? That it's on.
Yeah, he was up a hill, yeah.
So if it's on a hill and it was snowing and it was deep and he fell from the top, it would be literally like when a cartoon character falls into snow and it's just that outline.
Yeah, leaving an
imprint.
A Peter Gibbs-shaped hole about 15 feet in the snow.
There's only one explanation that I can think of for why the shepherd didn't see the bloke.
Yeah.
And that is that he was shit at his job and was lying.
Yeah, true.
And was just
I can't
covering.
Let the boss find out.
Didn't go out at all. Yeah. I swear, I was there the whole time. The whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the boy who cried no dead body. Yeah. No one will ever know. But that's the story of the Great Malt Air mystery.
Do you have a theory, Simon? Do you have a...
I reckon...
Or are you... Outline of Peter Gibbs.
But I reckon how the plane broke is the lightning. I reckon the lightning. That's possible.
Was there a storm?
I don't know. There could have been.
Might have been.
It might have broken up.
I think they were saying that the weather could turn and he shouldn't have gone out on this...
He should have stayed in the hotel with his bird.
With his bird.
Sorry.
Was there any woodland?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. The plane could have broken up into there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was, but easily found. If the plane was in there, they'd
have
found
it.
No, I mean, like, that could have broken his fall as well.
Yes.
Oh, right. Right. It's possible that he... So going back to Nicholas, our pal Nicholas, whose fall was broken by the pine trees, he could have... jumped out of the plane and it could have carried on into the sea. He could have landed in the trees, got disoriented and walked off up the hill instead of to the hotel. Yeah, that's possible. Because there's trees right by the airstrip. But there were also people right by the airstrip. So if the plane had, they would have seen it come over or heard it come over.
Could it be, because it's a small island, that they're all in on it?
Oh, shit. I'm sick of his fucking pranks.
Sons of bitches.
And then they're all suddenly incredibly wealthy, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
It's that's a complete good. Cover-up.
And do you reckon, actually, this could be, maybe then his girlfriend started seeing him to lure him to the island?
Possible.
Oh, this is proper Wicker Man shit, huh?
Yeah. Midsummer, whatever.
And the plane never went anywhere. This is all just a cock and bull story.
They just killed him.
And then because they said, oh, we told everybody... that he went out in the plane. We're now going to have to dump the body on the hill in flight gear.
It's just Britt Eklund. Britt Eklund patting the plane, going, good work, Gavin.
I could get on that. Yeah, I could believe that, Simon.
Yeah.
I mean, in real life, it's probably unlikely, but it's the one I want to believe the most.
It makes a compelling episode of TV. I've
seen weirder shit on Forensic Files, and that shit is true. There's that guy that got caught because he put his footprints in burger buns.
Oh my god!
I'm not even kidding.
What had he done?
Deliberately? What was the thinking behind it?
I think he broke in, murdered the guy, and then made a snack.
His fucking feet?
Like dropped burger buns and then stepped on it. He was barefoot. He was barefoot because he was trying to be like, I don't want to leave any footprints, like any shoe prints.
I'll put my bare feet on the ground.
The idea of like, I don't want to leave any trace of myself behind. I'm going to eat his food though.
Yeah. I am very hungry.
What is it? There must be something. Yes, after you've murdered something. Like, wouldn't mind a sandwich.
Get drive through.
Yeah. It really makes you hungry.
I finished everything I think that I can say on the Great Malaya Mystery. I will say our listener Rachel, who tuned into the live stream last week, she wanted us to cover this one on that live stream.
Ah.
It didn't win the vote. And then when we announced that we're doing the live stream on Thursday the 4th of June, tonight if you're listening on the day this episode goes out.
Yeah.
She then commented and went, great Malaire mystery this time. And I was like, sorry, we're doing it on this episode. But I hope that
we can probably talk about it. Because I'm up for talking about Hitler's paintings a bit more.
Oh, yes.
I can't 100%. Wait to Google that and then join it.
I can't wait for you to see him.
Also be careful, you know, do it on a private browser because you don't want your entire algorithm to be
Problem I made. But it's funny actually because I put H in and it came up Hitler straight away.
Straight away, yeah. Well,
it was like, it came up Baby Hitler, which is what Chris calls him. I mean, I've got a theory. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm going to do what Peter would have wanted, which is deliver it through the medium of song.
Peter Gibbs, oh, he looks like at night. He left a hotel to take a solo flight. He climbed into Gavin, the name of his plane. And it was 4 months before he was seen again. Dead on a hill, his body wore no shoes. Injury free, Peter, what happened to you? Did he fall from Gavin after a fainting? Or is that theory shit like a Hitler painting?
Leave my paintings alone. Shut up, Hitler.
Had Peter head off to drop flour on an orchestra? Or maybe locusts? Oh, it just sounds so stressful, yeah. He was missing so long after flying south. Thinking of Peter brings me memories in my mouth. Could he have survived if he just relaxed? Would Hitler's paintings have sold if they'd been less crap? I guess we'll never know, 'cause it's the end of my song. Something, 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 drinking game gone wrong.
Hey, there we go.
I didn't record it at another time. People just were quiet while I was doing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Simon. Show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
It was a lot of
so
fun.
So kind.
Have you got more, anything else coming up? Any more workshops or anything?
Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be doing some more.
Fantastic.
It's Creators of Colour that I'm doing these workshops through. Which sounds like an organisation, but it's just me.
And where
that's
can we
brilliant.
Find you? On social media?
At Simon Ferdows. Figure out how to spell that.
Title of this podcast.
Yeah, it's in the title of the podcast, don't worry. Actually, let's not know.
No.
So that they can guess.
Yeah.
See how many
people. We're just going to call this podcast 5 question marks. You figure it out, pricks.
That's the mystery.
You don't deserve me if you can't spell my name.
Yeah, exactly. Sign me on a date. Just like loads of perfectly nice men going, oh, I'll do my best. Not good enough.
You will get my number, you will not get my name, you will figure it out. If it was meant to be, it would happen.
Yeah, you'll have to find me, runs away. He's like, oh, I'm not going to, I only just met you.
So, you can find all of us, of course, on our usual thingies. Have you got anything to plug, you guys?
Oh, I do actually have something to plug. I completely forgot.
Oh, do it.
Okay.
So I do this web series with Bilal Zafar called, which as soon as you've been on.
I was a guest.
The actors one, right?
Yeah, it's really fun.
The Acting School of Excellence. So we're going to be doing live Twitches from this Thursday.
Brilliant.
What time's yours on? Is it going to clash? Oh my God.
8, yeah, we're on at 8.
No, we're on at 9:30.
Oh, great. Well, we do go on
for
about 3
finished.
Hours. That's all right, though.
So, yes, we can find that on Bilal's Twitch, is that? Is that will be on his? Oh, fantastic.
It's Zafar Cakes, cool. Isn't it?
Yes, that's his one. Yeah, yeah, nice one. Oh, okay, that sounds exciting. Very cool.
Yeah.
So that's from. Awesome. So that'll be the day this episode goes out, which is the 4th of June.
What, who's the first guest? Do you know?
Michael Spicer.
Oh.
Great one.
You can find all of us on the respective, you know, social whatevers. No. Suze, yours is...
Suze.
At Suze UK.
At Suze UK on Twitter.
Chris.
I'm underscore Chris underscore Stokes.
Not the pedo.
That's why they're the underscores.
Suze, you're on Twitter as well, aren't you? Tuesdays.
Yes, Suze Kempner, all one word. Yeah. Well, sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm not. I've given up, like, saying, I'm definitely on now. Last week I did 8 hours and I was like, that'll do you.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. Whee! Well, we'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.